Okay, so this is the story of Garuda. This is from the Adi Parva Mahabharat. At the dawn of time, there's two great beings, the Devas and the Asuras, and they always quarrel with each other. And this particular time, it was caused over Durvasa Muni. He went to visit Indra to congratulate him about all the victories that he had won. And so he gave him a flower garland. So Indra gave it to his elephant. And the elephant picked it up and threw it on the ground and trampled on it. And so Durvasa was really angry at Indra. And he cursed him. And so the gods were kind of at a loss. And so Vishnu kind of, because the Asuras kept on defeating the Devas. So Vishnu was like, well, he kind of got him to work together to churn the ocean to make Amrit, the nectar of immortality. So they got Vasuki, who is a serpent. Now, the serpents had just been born. But even so, Vasuki was really huge. And so the demons grabbed him by the head, and the Devas grabbed him by the tail. But Vasuki is a fire-breathing serpent. And so when they grabbed him by the head, all the demons got scorched. When the Devas were smart, that they grabbed the tail. So, you know, they were churning, and then Vasuki's fire got on the mountain, and the mountain actually started to catch on fire. And then, you know, all the different animals died, and then the aquatic animals, they also died, and all the different herbs kind of got scorched, and everything kind of got mixed together when they were churning, and all this churning happened. And also, this is, you know, the avatar of Krishna, the Korma, the tortoise, came, and because the mountain started to sink. And so Korma came and held it up in the water so that it was in the right level. So when they were churning, then the right thing happened. And then, you know, the Amrit came. And then there's also poison. So Shiva drank that poison and he kept it. He didn't swallow it. And he didn't spit it out. He kept it in his neck. So he got a blue neck. So that's why his name's Nalini Kanta, the blue neck. Nila is blue in Sanskrit. So then, you know, these different things came out. There was Apsaras. There was Lakshmi Devi came out. And there's a beautiful prayer that the Devas said to get her to come their direction. I mean, you know, she was going to Vishnu anyway, but it was a beautiful prayer called the Mahalakshmi Stotram. It's a beautiful prayer that you say, and it because they're trying to get her to come to them. And so if you say it, then Lakshmi comes in your life too. So then the moon planet rose out of the ocean, a big elephant that Indra took. And then there was an eight-legged horse called Uchaishrava. Now, interesting, in the Norse mythology, they believe that Odin has an eight-legged horse called Sleipnir. So it's interesting. It's kind of like a universal concept. So, yeah, this eight-legged horse came. And this is the crux, because what happened was there was two wives of Kashyap. Kadru and Vinata. Now, Vinata was the mother of the birds, and Kadru was the mother of the serpents. Now, Garuda was a very beautiful, powerful being, and he was the son of Vinata. Now, Kadru was the mother of serpents, and so she was kind of jealous of Kadru. I mean, Kadru was kind of jealous of Vinata. And so what she did was when, you know, these Prajapatis, they heard about how the ocean was churned and all these valuable things came. So Kadru went to Vinita and she said, you know, I heard that this horse came. What color do you think the horse is? So Vinita said, I think it's pure white. And Kadru said, well, I think it's white, but it has a black tail. Let's put a wager that if the horse is the way one of us says, then one has to be the slave of the other. Whoever's wrong has to be the servant of the other one. When you have a lot of co-wives, there's a lot of jealousy that comes. Like, who's the most, you know, best, you know. And this kind of reflects in the children as well. Diti and Aditi are two goddesses, and Aditi was the eldest, and so Diti was jealous, and so Aditi, her children were the devas, the Adityas, and Diti, her children are Daityas, which are demons. And so we have another situation like that with these two. So what happened was the horse was, of course, all white because it came from the ocean of milk. So what Kadru did was she had all of her children go into the tail. Her children are serpents, so they kind of look like hair. So they all went and made his tail look black. But at first, they didn't want to go there. Now, this kind of lets you know a little bit about how hardcore this Kadru was. At first, they didn't want to do this. They were like, no, we don't want to break Dharma. So she cursed them that if you don't want to do what I say, then what's the use of having children? So I curse you that you all burn in a snake sacrifice. So that is the reason why it happened. So they got scared and they went in the tail. And so then they went, and so Garuda actually had to be the servant of the Nagas at first, which is why he developed an enmity with them. And as you know, Kali, the serpent, and Garuda, and all these, you know, stories of Garuda eating the snakes. He didn't really like him at first, because when he was first born, he had to be their slave. And they would, you know, he was huge. When he was first born, he was like light and fire. And he flew around the universe. And then slowly the fire condensed and it became a beautiful golden eagle. And all the serpents, you know, they used to make him carry them to different planets. They're like, oh, you know, he'd take him to different planets. And then they're like, oh, this is nice. Now take us here. Now, but when he would fly, they would get scared and they would bite him. And they couldn't hurt him because he's so powerful, but still they'd bite him, and it was really annoying. And finally he had enough, and he went to his mother, because he was too small to remember when the wager happened. He said, why do we have to do whatever the serpents say? And she explained how they had lost the wager. So Garuda went to the serpents, and he said, you know, tell me something I can do, some task, some chore, something that will make it so I don't have to be your serpent, as your slave anymore. So the Nagas thought about it for some time, and then they were like, kind of talked together, and then they were like, obtain for us the Amrita, which was churned in the ocean. We are also great beings. We are children of Kashyap. And all the gods, they get worshipped because they have Amrita. But us, we get crushed underfoot. So give us the Amrita, and people will worship us too. So Garuda said, okay, I'll get that. So he went to his father, Kashyap, and he said, tell me, what should I do? Because I'm going to take the Amrita from the devas, you know, and the devas are very powerful. And so what should I do, you know, to do this? Because they keep it hidden and they guard it. So Kashyap said, you have to eat the proper food. So they were in the Buraloka, which is a higher realm, where everything is different. They have monster-sized trees and monster-sized animals and things like this. So there was this huge lake, and in the lake there was an elephant and a tortoise. and they both were fighting each other. And they had some ego because in their past life they were two people that didn't like each other. And they were pious, so they were born in Borloka, but they were born as animals because they had these envy and anger in their heart. So they were born in a higher planet, and they had huge bodies, but huge, powerful bodies, but they were born as animals. So Garuda, he came, and he grabbed and he ate the elephant and the tortoise. And then he was, you know, strong. So the devas, they started noticing bad omens. There's a whole science to seeing omens. So the devas saw the omen, something bad was happening. So they went to Brihaspati and they said, you know, what's going to happen? So Brihaspati said, by these omens, it looks like someone's going to try and take the Amrita, so guard it. So the devas, again, the battle mode, and I have to kind of. So the devas, you know, they got to all their weapons and they made a special room and they hid the Amrita in there. And Indra went to Brihaspati. He said, why is it that, you know, this is happening? Why? And then Brihaspati reminded him, this is the story of why Garuda was born in the first place, why he challenged Indra. Everything has a reason. It's interesting. There's reasons and reasons and reasons, and everything has a reason. The Mahabharata is just filled with reasons why things happen. So the one time Kashyapa was doing a jagya, so everybody wanted to help. So, you know, Kashyapa is the father of Indra. So Indra grabbed a huge mountain of wood, as much as he could carry. Because, you know, you do a jugger, you need wood. So everybody wanted to help. So Indra's like, I'll bring wood. So there was these little sages called the Valakilis, and they're as big as a thumb. And they wanted to help too. So all of them together, they did a lot of tapasya. And so they weren't strong in the first place. And they were tiny. So there's about five or six of them. They're all holding a leaf, single dry leaf. And they had got stuck in the hoof print of a cow in the mud. And they were stuck. And so Indra was walking by, you know, and he sees these little sages with the leaf. He's carrying this huge amount of wood. And he looks down and he just starts to laugh at him. Because, you know, he sees little sages. And he's some huge god and he has all this wood. And he's just like, you know, what are you guys doing? So he just started to laugh. And then he went on. So the sages got angry that they were, you know, slighted. Even though they're tiny, they do heaps of austerities. They actually only live off of the sunlight. So they have a lot of tejas. And so they actually, Indra was going by, you know. And he heard the sages, they cursed him. They're like, why does there need to, they said, even though you're king of heaven, we'll make another Indra by our austerities. We'll be 1,000 times more powerful than you. And he will be a ruler over all the universe. And so then you will be, you know, humiliated. Because you, even though you're so powerful, you don't have any respect for anybody. So it's made you too proud, so we'll make you humble now. So Indra was scared, and he went to Kashyap. And so Kashyap went to the Valakilias, and he says, you know, Lord Brahma has arranged the universe, and the current Indra that we have is the Indra that there is. And by you making another Indra, it will cause chaos in the flow of the universe. So you have to adjust that curse. And so the Valakilias, they said, then we'll make an Indra amongst birds. And he still will be 1,000 times more powerful. And he will fight with Indra and humble him. So that was Garuda. Now, even though Garuda is an eternal associate, still there's reasons why they come. There's a Leela involved. Garuda is an eternal associate. He carries Vishnu, even in the spiritual world. So when he comes in the material world, then there's something going on. There's also Ananta, Sesha. He was Vasuki's older brother. And he was going to be king of all serpents, but he renounced his kingdom, and he did tapasya. And then Vishnu chose him to be his bed. So even though, you know, he's a spiritual person, they get come into this world. He's a spiritual personality, like Sankarshan. I mean, you know, but he comes in the world, and then he sets an example for us. Like he does, you know, he renounces material things, and then he does praise to God with devotion, and then he becomes his servant. And that's what we're supposed to do. But that's, you know, so they come here and they set this example, even though they're like eternal. They come and they set an example just for us. So when, you know, Indra heard this, he's still he's a Kshatriya. They're not going to back down, even though he knows, you know. So all these different gods, they gathered together with weapons and armor, and they had a fortress built, like a safe, you know, and they kept Amrita in there and had guardians and all this stuff. So they built a kind of like vault, and then it was surrounded by huge fire. And then there was all the gods were around it with their weapons. And so the first thing Garuda did when he came was he made a huge dust storm with his wings. And nobody could see anything. And then he came and he bit and clawed and grabbed all these and hit him with his wings. And everybody was getting thrashed up and tossed around and beat up and bloodied up. And Indra, everybody, they just got totally beaten in no time. Everyone tried to fight him and they just get taken out. So then the gods kind of like ran away. So then Garuda saw the fire. So he grew a bunch of heads. And he went to the Akshaganga, which is the upper. There's the Akshaganga flows in the Swarga. And then it comes down to the earth. And then there's a whole story how it came and everything in the Ramayana. But there's a Ganga in Swarga too. So he went there and he drank up all the water. And then he spit it like a fire hydrant. And put the fire out. And then he went inside and there was the spinning wheel with 100 spokes. And each spoke was a blade. And that was, he had to get through that. But because, you know, he had all these cities, he got really microscopically small and then flew through the gap. And on the other side, there was these two horrendous guardians. They're like giant serpents. And these ones were so bad that they even look at you, you catch on fire. But Garuda came real swift and they couldn't see him. And then he got them. And then he got the Amrit, and then he kicked the wheel from the other side and busted it up and flew away. So as he's flying away, Indra came with his thunder. And he said, "I'll show you." And he threw his, you know, thunderbolt and hit Garuda on the wing. But it made one feather fall. And Indra was amazed, you know. "I have to shoot this weapon, you know." And Garuda, he said, "How is it you're so strong?" He said, "Actually, I dropped a feather because I wanted to give some respect to Dadichi Rishi, whose bones it was that made that the Vajra. Is actually, I didn't even have to drop a feather." And then he flew off. So as he was going, you know, he met Vishnu. And Vishnu said, "I'm very impressed." So then he asked him if he would be his carrier. So then Garuda's like, "Oh yeah." So, you know, Garuda went and he was going to give the Nagas some thing, but Indra met him. And Indra was like, these Nagas, they can't have this Amrita. And Gerudo's like, I have to give it to them because it's the way, only way I can be free. So Indra's like, can you give me a hand? I mean, I can't really let them have this. And Gerudo's like, I'll think of something. So he went there, and there was a kusha grass mat, and he plunked the Amrita jar on the mat, and the snakes were like, oh, thank you. He said, am I free from slavery to you? And the snakes were like, yes, yes. So then he's like, they were about to drink it, and he's like, oh, you know, it'd be very proper if you guys washed before you drank the Amrita to purify yourself, take a bath. Like, oh, yeah, that's very true. So they swam over there. And while he's gone, Indra was kind of watching. And Gerudo kind of like looked the other way. And Indra grabbed the nectar and ran off. Because Gerudo was free. So he didn't have to, you know, interfere. And they came back and like, oh, man, what happened? He said, Indra came and took it. I couldn't stop him. I was so tired from fighting. So then the serpents, they actually started to lick the kusha grass mat because some drops fell on the kusha. But they got absorbed as soon as they hit, so they say that it's very special grass. Anyway, because the serpents licked up the kusha grass, it's called sword grass. And it's very sharp, actually. You can cut your finger if you run it on the kusha. So the thing is that it cut their tongue. So if you look at serpents now, they have a forked tongue. So that's the story of Gerudo.